There was, in one congregation where I was, a man who would always come up to me, and when he came to shake my hand, he'd shake my hand and he'd say, "Well, what do you know?" Well, I always started answering. I said, "Well, I know my ABCs, and I know how to count, and I know how to add and subtract." And that wasn't what he wanted to know. I'm not sure what he did want to know. When he asked me what I knew, I thought I'd have to tell him what I knew, but he didn't want to know all of that. But I want us to ask ourselves the question this morning regarding our spiritual lives. What do you know? And do you know what you know? And do you hold on to what you know? Will you use what you know? All of those kinds of things. And I wanted us just to start, we'll have a little fun here at the beginning. You can mark this for yourself, or you can raise your hand if you want to. Raise your hand if you believe that the statement that I'm about to that I'm going to read some statements, if you believe that they are in the Bible, raise your hand, okay? So the first one is, God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. Raise your hand if you think that's a Bible passage. Okay. Let your moderation be known to all men. Raise your hand if you think that one's a Bible passage. We got a few on that one. All right. When I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. Raise your hand if you think that's a Bible passage. Okay. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. How about that one? You think that's a Bible passage? Raise your hand. I could find that one. All right. The Lord moves in mysterious ways. How about that one? I'll get a few on that one. Okay. Despite your several insults, despite your horrid blasphemies, the Lord of hosts is prepared to forgive all and more to reward your service. Not that one. You may think that one. Okay. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship which had wintered in the island whose sign was Castor and Pollux. How about that one? Okay. Get a couple on that one. All right. We'll stop with those. Got a few more on there, but we don't want to take too much time. All right, well, let your moderation be known to all men is a Bible passage. That's from Philippians. And after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship which had wintered in the island, whose sign was Castor and Pollux, is also a Bible passage. That's from the book of Acts. The rest of them were not. So, if you got those all right, good job. I think some of you just weren't going to raise your hand no matter what I said. It's not scriptural to raise your hand during worship. You can't do that during the sermon. I don't know where that verse is, but I know it's wrong to raise my hand, so I can't do that. So that's okay. think about what you really know. Can you name 6 characters from favorite TV shows or movies? Can you name 6 of the original 12 apostles? How much time do you spend on entertainment? How much time do you spend on spiritual things? How much money do we spend on entertainment and worldly things? How much money do we spend on spiritual things? I know in one circumstance where there were several people in a congregation who complained vigorously when the class book for the Sunday morning class that was going to last 13 weeks, a quarterly book, was $5.95, $6. And it's a small church. They didn't have a lot of funds, so they asked each person to buy their own class book, is basically what they did. And they said, "Oh, that's $6. That's just too much. I can't afford that." these very same people, some of them, you know, some of the very same, some of the ladies that would complain about it, oh, that costs too much, I can't afford that, would go to the beauty shop every week and spend $40 or $50 or $60 a week. But they couldn't afford $6 for 13 weeks for their Bible class book. You know, others, you know, would spend $40 or $50 on cable TV, but they couldn't afford a Bible that might cost $10 to have a Bible to bring to church. So, you know, we wonder sometimes about ourselves, how much emphasis do we put on spiritual things versus how much emphasis do we put on worldly things? Now, obviously, maybe I shouldn't say obviously because maybe it's not obvious. I don't believe it's a sin for a woman to go to the beauty shop. I don't believe it's a sin for somebody to have cable TV or the, you know, a dish or something like that, or any of those things, or to watch a show or go to a movie or something. Now, some of them are sinful just because of what they contain, but I don't think just the thing itself is not a sinful thing. It's not wrong. But we have to ask ourselves, what are our priorities if we're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on those things and we won't spend any on spiritual things? Or we're spending hour after hour after hour on those things and we won't spend any time in God's Word and prayer and in spiritual activities, helping our neighbor, studying with others, talking to others about Christ or whatever. If we're putting all our time and our energy into these things, what does that tell God our priority is? In other words, what does God know about what we know? And are we willing to admit where we really stand in this area? Let's notice some things about knowledge. We want to notice four things quickly. We've got about 15 minutes, so we'll notice four things about knowledge. First of all, let's notice that knowledge can be a blessing. Knowledge can be a blessing. It can be a good thing. It can help us. If it is from the right source. Proverbs 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So if we get our knowledge from the right source, it can be a blessing to us. However, if we get it from the wrong sources, it can be detrimental to us, can't it? It's also a blessing if it's attainable, which of course God has made knowledge attainable for us if we're willing to study and learn it. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." In other words, God wants everyone to know the truth. He made it attainable. He made it so that we can know it. That doesn't mean everyone will, though, does it? In fact, there in 2 Timothy 3:7, Timothy is warned about certain people who are, as Paul says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You think, well, how are they always learning and yet they can't ever know the truth? Well, there's a lot of possibilities there, but one is that they just keep learning the wrong things, keep learning the wrong knowledge. Instead of the knowledge of the truth, they're learning other knowledge. And there are other possibilities as well, but you know, when we think about that, is it attainable? Yes, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us the knowledge that we need to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to Him. However, He hasn't just implanted it in our brains so that we automatically have it. He's given it to us in book form in the Scriptures and said, "Come get it. If you want it, take it. It's free for everyone." But then also, knowledge is only a blessing if it's joined with wisdom. And not just any wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom that's from above, the wisdom of God. Colossians 1, 9 through 11 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." So notice what Paul tells the Colossians. He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, there's a lot of things that we may know but not understand. And when I was a kid, I had to memorize a whole bunch of different things. And I didn't understand them at the time. You know, I memorized the multiplication tables and the division tables. I memorized my ABCs, and you know, I memorized all those things. Memorized sight words. I memorized a whole bunch of things. But memorizing those things didn't mean that I understood them. You see, I can, if somebody were to give me right now, I learned certain things about, for example, how the French language is pronounced, how the letters are pronounced, and how you read it. So you could give me a paragraph in French, and chances are I could read it to you. But that doesn't mean I understand what it says. I know the sounds the letters make, so I could say the words. I might mispronounce some of them. I'd pronounce all of them with an American accent, no doubt. I wouldn't say any of them like a true Parisian. But I could say the words close enough that a person who knew French would recognize what I was saying, and maybe they could understand it, but I wouldn't understand it. Because even though I know the sounds the letters make and the ways the words are pronounced, I don't know what those words mean in English. So I wouldn't understand them. There are a lot of people who have memorized verses of the Bible, and they know them, and they can quote them back to you, but they don't understand them. And so the knowledge is only a blessing to us if it's accompanied by wisdom and understanding. And so it needs to be joined with wisdom. Knowledge is just knowing those facts, having the factual information. Wisdom is knowing what to do with those facts that you have. As I think Xander said one time, I think in class one night or something, he said, and it's something that I've heard before, is knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is not putting it in your fruit salad, right? Because even though technically, botanically speaking, tomato is a fruit, we know it just doesn't belong in a fruit salad with the bananas and oranges and cherries and things. It just doesn't go in there. It just doesn't work right. So we need to join our knowledge with wisdom if it's going to be a blessing to us. Secondly, though, we know that knowledge can be a curse. It can be a curse if it is used to harm others. We should never use our knowledge to hurt other people. Unfortunately, sometimes we do. We've talked about that in our lessons on gossip, that we know some secret thing about someone else, and then we spread that around, and we hurt those people by doing that. We shouldn't hurt people with the knowledge that we have. In 1 Corinthians 8, verses 10 and 11, Paul talks about this in a different context. He talks about it regarding idols. He says, "For if any man sees you who have knowledge sitting at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things that are offered to the idols? And through your knowledge the weak brother will perish for whom Christ died." So he says, first of all, he started that whole section by saying, we know that an idol is nothing. We know it's not a real God. We know it's nothing in this world. It's just a rock or a piece of wood or a piece of metal. We know that. It's not really a God. But just because we know that doesn't mean that we should destroy someone else who hasn't understood that yet, who doesn't have that same knowledge. And so he warns about the danger of using your knowledge in a way that's harmful to somebody else. Because you know that, you might cause them to fall and violate their own conscience, which would then be a sin to them because of that. Because maybe they've made a vow to God, I'm not going to eat meat offered to idols, and then they break that vow by going to eat the meat sacrificed to idols because they saw somebody else doing it. You know, think about that. If you can imagine, the story is told about three guys that were out fishing, and there were three different preachers from three different religious groups. And one of them was a preacher for the Church of Christ, and he's there with the other two, and I think one of them was Lutheran, and the other one was Methodist. And they're out there fishing in the boat, and the one says, you know what? I just realized I left my Coke in the car. I've got to run back and get it. So he hops out and runs across the water and goes to the car and runs back and gets back in the boat. And the preacher from the Church of Christ looked at that and he said, wow, that's something. And so after a while, the other one says, you know, I just remembered I left my sandwich in the car. I've got to go get it. And so he hopped out and ran right across the water and went and come back, ran across the water and got back in the boat. Now the preacher from the Church of Christ thought, now if these two denominational preachers can do this, then I can too. And so after a while, he thought about something. He said, you know what? I realized I left a little bit of my fishing gear back in the car. I got to go get it. He jumped out of the water, out of the boat, and landed in the water and sunk right in. And the other two preachers looked at each other and said, you know, you think we ought to show him where the rocks are? Knowledge is helpful, but sometimes our knowledge can be detrimental to somebody else. And in that case, they knew where the rocks were, but because they hadn't told the other fella, it got him all wet. Now, it didn't damage him permanently, I don't suppose, just his ego, I reckon. But also, not only if it's used to harm others, but if it causes arrogance. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all knowledge. But knowledge puffs us up. Love builds up. So sometimes when we know, and we know what we know, we become arrogant about, well, I know more than you, and I'm smarter than you because I know more than you. Just because you know more than somebody else, that doesn't mean you're smarter than them. It just means you have more information than they do about that thing. Just because we know how to be saved, just because we know something that the Bible teaches about how to worship, that doesn't make us smarter than other people out there in the world. They may be just as smart as we are, they just don't have the knowledge that we have. That knowledge shouldn't puff us up, it shouldn't make us proud and arrogant, because again, if we got that knowledge from the right source, we didn't figure it out on our own, we got it from God, we got it from His Word. It's not, well, I'm so smart I figured this out all on my own. No, I couldn't have ever known it if it hadn't been taught to me. In fact, Paul says in another place, what do you have that you weren't given? What do you have that's yours that you say, well, I did it? No, you didn't. Nobody did everything on their own. They were given. They were given the abilities by God. They were given the opportunities by God. They were given help by other people. They were taught things by other people. They didn't get it all on their own. Well, I'm self-taught. Well, how'd you teach yourself? Well, I read these books, or I did... Well, you read the books. Who wrote the books? You didn't write the books. Whoever wrote the books taught you those things then. They didn't do it personally. They did it through the book. You didn't do it by yourself. Now somebody said, well, I learned it through experience. I tried it and this and tried that and I figured it out on my own. Well, you figured it out through the scientific method that God has designed for us to figure things out of trial and error. And some things are figured out that way, but again, you use the brain that God gave you to be able to figure out what was going wrong and how to get it right and how to do those things. You still did it by the power that God gave you, not by your own. None of us do anything on our own. But then we not only have to beware of it causing arrogance and becoming a curse to us, but knowledge is definitely a curse when it's withheld from those who need it. This is one of the saddest things about what we often refer to as the Dark Ages, was that certain men thought that they were the only ones that had the right to the Word of God, and they kept it from everybody else. They withheld the knowledge from other people. And what a sad thing that was. Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out." Well, certainly, we can't know everything about God. But the depth of the riches that we can have, that we can know, we should never keep that from anyone. Help them delve as deeply as they possibly can. Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Moses tells the children of Israel, don't keep these words of God a secret. Don't keep this knowledge from others. It's for you and for your children. Keep passing it on. Keep spreading that knowledge. Help that flame to grow brighter and brighter throughout the world. Then we notice that knowledge can be useful, first of all, if it is accurate. It can be useful if it is accurate. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You know, it's not just any old bit of knowledge, because sometimes there's false knowledge out there too, isn't there? One particular old writer said, "Beware of the half-truth, because you never know which half you've got." The truth is what we need. That's the knowledge that we need. Accurate knowledge. Inaccurate knowledge can be deadly. It can kill you. For example, if you go over to England and if you didn't know that they drive on the left side of the road over there, and you went driving down the right side of the road, you'd crash into somebody. And it could be deadly. If you didn't know that green means go and red means stop on the traffic light, you run through a red light and you could kill somebody. Knowledge, not having knowledge or having the wrong knowledge, can be deadly. It can be a dangerous thing. And then knowledge can be useful if it's accepted. 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." There are a lot of imaginations out there. There are a lot of things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And a lot of people then won't accept God's knowledge. They won't accept it from Him. And so it's not useful to them. And then, of course, it has to be retained in order to be useful to us. One of the things that frustrates me the most is when there was something that I knew and I've forgotten it. And I know we all have been there. We knew, oh, I used to know that, and I can't remember it now. That's frustrating. But we need to retain that knowledge for it to be useful to us. Romans 1:28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." They didn't want to keep Him in their knowledge. They didn't want to remember God. They didn't want to know God. And so they didn't. 2 Peter 2:20-22 says, "For after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are tangled again therein and overcome, their latter end is worse than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered to them." And it's happened to them according to the proverb, "The dog is returned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mud." So That makes it, it's not useful unless we retain it, unless we keep it, and keep living by that knowledge that we have. And then the last thing we want to notice is that it can be useless. Knowledge can be useless if the subject is useless. It never ceases to amaze me, young people sometimes, or even adults, who know every statistic there is to know about their favorite football team or basketball team or baseball team or whatever sport they're into, and they know every game that team's played and every player on that team and who's done this and who's done that, and they got all of that memorized. They know all of that. But then you talk to them about learning, about, oh, I just can't remember things. Well, you remembered all that. Or the woman who knows all of her favorite characters on a show, or who knows 100 recipes from memory, or knows, you know, all the different brands of clothing by sight. Oh, that over there, that's that. And whatever it is, and knows all of there. The guy that knows every car that was ever made and can recognize it when he sees it, what model it is, and all of that. But then it comes to the Bible, and these folks say, well, I just can't remember Scripture. Well, you remembered all those other things, all those spiritually speaking. Now, obviously, some of those things can be useful in certain areas of your life, but from a spiritual standpoint, those are useless facts. They won't help you get to heaven. And you say, well, I just can't learn the Bible. Can't learn those things. We can learn what we put our mind to. But if the subject is useless, then the knowledge is useless. And then the knowledge is useless if it's without understanding. Ephesians 3:4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see, part of the problem with the Bible is people read it, but they don't understand it. Just reading it, just saying the English words that are in your Bibles, won't help you get to heaven if you don't understand what they're telling you to do and telling you how to get there. If you have not been getting the right kind of knowledge from the right source, or if you've been using your knowledge to harm others or to harm yourself by allowing it to puff you up instead of being humble and knowing that your knowledge was from God and not from your own self. If there are other things in regards to knowledge that you realize you need to correct, that you need to gain more knowledge, or you need to get rid of some useless knowledge and replace it with something more useful. Whatever the case may be, if you need to respond, please do so as we stand and sing.